So we've been studying these parables from Luke chapter 15 over the last few weeks, including last week looking at Jesus' most famous parable about the prodigal son. Now this morning, we want to talk about the other brother in this story, not the prodigal, not the one who gets all the hype and the attention for his dramatic return to the father, but his older brother, the supposedly good son, the responsible one, the one who never left home, but the one who turns out to be judgmental, resentful, deeply insecure. He really is the other lost son. And it's really a shame that the prodigal's elder brother so often gets left out of the retelling of this story, because he seems to fade into the background against the dramatic narrative of the one who's lost and is found. But it is for the elder brothers and sisters of this world that Jesus tells this story in the first place. Remember, all the way back from the beginning of this chapter, who Jesus' audience is to begin with. It's a group of Pharisees and teachers of the law whose not-so-subtle complaints about the sort of company that Jesus was keeping prompted these three parables that we've been studying: the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son. Jesus tells these stories not for the benefit of the prodigals and the prostitutes who are already flocking to hear him, but he tells these stories for the so-called righteous and religious who just don't get what's going on with Jesus. This episode with the elder brother at the end of this story is sort of the punchline of the whole chapter. It's where Jesus finally holds up a mirror to the Pharisees themselves. And he appeals to them not to remain standing outside in the cold throwing a fit, but to join the tax collectors and the sinners in coming to know the love and acceptance of the Father. Because whether they realize it or not, these Pharisees and teachers of the law, these older brothers and sisters, these good religious people, good church folks like you and me, they're lost too. Now, the parable, of course, shows us the prodigal son, lost and alone in a far country. We heard last week how he was hungry and penniless and alienated from all his friends and family, and especially from his father. But the portrait that Jesus paints of his older brother reveals another young man who, for having never left home at all, is still just as alienated from his loving father. Out in the fields, when his brother returns home, I don't think it's an accident that he keeps his distance from the father, staying busy with his work. He seems to be the only one who doesn't know what's going on. When he hears the sounds of music and dancing coming from the house, he has to ask one of the servant boys to fill him in. And then, stubbornly refusing to join in the celebration, a deep well of anger and resentment that has been years in the making finally boils over within him. And it's an anger directed not so much against his wayward brother, though he refuses to acknowledge him. When he talks to his father, he calls him "this son of yours." But really, it's an anger directed at his father for what he perceives as a lifetime of unfair treatment. Thinking, doesn't anyone see how hard I've been working? How devoted I've been? How hard I have tried to make up for the irresponsible behavior of this brother? But his bitter and accusatory words reveal how he really sees his relationship with his father. "All these years I've been slaving for you," he says. Slaving. Remember how his younger brother, who once demanded his rightful share of the inheritance due to him as a son, came to wish that he could return home merely as one of his father's hired servants. His older brother, it seems, never felt much like a son to begin with, but always, he says, like a slave, dutifully obeying orders, endlessly striving and trying to earn the very love and acceptance that he now sees showered on his younger brother. His dispute with his father reveals that the older brother has been keeping score for a very long time. All these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. Notice he has no interest in celebrating with his father. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. Now this is crucial, I think. It's not just his beef with his father, but the older son's very self-image depends on his comparison with his younger brother. He's supposed to be the good son, the responsible one. He has followed all the rules, he claims. But a deep insecurity within him is revealed by the fierce judgment that he directs at his younger brother. Did you notice that when Jesus told the younger brother's story, he never said anything about squandering the money on prostitutes when he told his story? No, the older brother supplied that part. Like a bully on the playground, he has to belittle others in order to maintain his self-image. He has to push someone else down in order to stay on top. He has to exude judgment in order to appear righteous to himself, almost as much as to anyone else. In the words of Helen Palmer, he judges in self-defense to reassure himself of his own goodness. Because you see, somewhere along the way, the elder brother has fallen for the lie that so many of us fall for. And that is that in order to be loved and accepted, he has to be good. Or at the very least, he has to be more good than other people. And that's what has made him more of a slave than a son all this time. Because his father's love, he believes, is conditional and has to be earned by good behavior. And somewhere deep inside, despite his self-righteous attitude and his sense of entitlement, he's deeply afraid that he doesn't measure up. We're used to seeing the Pharisees throughout the Gospels as Jesus' enemies, right? There's the scenes in the Gospels that are so often bitter and confrontational, not unlike the words of the elder son with his father in the parable. But I want to say that Jesus' story here reveals the father's compassion toward both of his lost sons. Just as the father sees the prodigal on the road coming home and goes out to meet him, so also the father goes out to meet with his elder son as he stands outside, refusing to join in the celebration. In our Bibles, it says that he pleaded with him. But the word in Greek, parakaleo, is no stinging rebuke. It's a word rich with tenderness. It's the same word used of the Holy Spirit in John's Gospel, the Comforter. The father then went out and spoke gently to his son. Now listen carefully to what he says, what he tells his oldest estranged son. My son, his first words to him, my son, you are no slave. Your identity is not found in your performance or in how hard you work or in what you do for me, but in your relationship to me. You are my son. child of a loving father, and nothing can change that. It is who you are. And it can neither be earned nor taken away. My son, he goes on, you are always with me. I've tried so hard to be the good son and to follow the rules as if you needed to earn your way into my affections. But your duty-bound efforts have succeeded only in building these walls of anger and resentment that keep us apart. You feel alienated. You feel distant. But the truth is, nothing can separate you from my love. Whether you realize it or not, you are always with me. And at last he says, everything I have is yours. This is every bit as extravagant as the love that the father shows to his returned younger son. This father gives himself fully to both his sons. It's worth noting that when at first he divided his property between them, at the beginning of the story, it says that he divided to them his very life. But this statement is about more than the disposition of the family estate and who got what in the inheritance. This is an assurance that all that the elder son ever really wanted, everything he'd worked so hard for, everything that he'd been trying desperately to earn by years of rigid obedience, namely his father's love and acceptance, this was in reality his all along. Everything I have is yours. You are always with me. You are my son. I suspect that there are many of us here today who, when we hear the story, the parable of the prodigal son, I suspect there's many of us who identify a little more easily with the elder brother than the younger one. And what I want to say to those of us today for whom that is true is that this story of the Father's unconditional love and acceptance and compassion is for all of us older brothers and sisters too. Those of us for whom our relationship with the Father can sometimes be characterized more by duty-bound obedience than the freedom and joy of a beloved child of God. And for those of us for whom that is true, who see ourselves in this son in the story, maybe it is time for us to renounce that lie that in order to be loved and accepted, we have to be good. Time to lay down the weapons of comparison and judgment. Time to dismantle the walls built up by anger and resentment. And come to know the love and acceptance of the Father who longs to welcome us into the celebration, to come and be reconciled to your brother, reconciled to your sister, and not miss out on the joy of the party that Jesus is throwing. Amen? Amen. Amen.